Somewhere, oh, there's a bright side. Somewhere, and don't you, oh no, until you find it. There's a bright, yes it is, somewhere. Now I will go into my closet. I will fall down on my knee, and I will pray unto my Father just as long as I plead. Oh, there's a bright, oh yes it is, somewhere. Oh, there's a bright side somewhere, and don't you, oh no, till you find it. There's a bright, yes it is, somewhere. God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps upon the sea, and he rides upon the storm. And because the Lord lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Life is worth the living just because he lives. He came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. And you ought to be living the abundant life. If you're not, then something is wrong. If you're a child of God, then that's yours, amen? You have a right not only to the abundant life, you have a right to the peace that passes all understanding. Amen? Because all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. You have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller. I want to call your attention to the book of Psalms. I want to thank Brother Ruddis for an excellent leading of the hymns today. Thank Brother Donald Wynn for a marvelous scripture reading. Brother Jerry Harris for a powerful prayer. And Brother Brandon for the excellent way in which he does the invocation, calling us to attentiveness. Psalms 37, verse number 23. Psalms 37, verse number 23. You have that, say amen. Well, I didn't hear y'all. Amen. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Using that text, I want to share a special Father's Day message entitled, "The Steps of a Good Father Are Ordered by the Lord." The steps of a good father are ordered by the Lord. Now, today is recognized throughout this great land as Father's Day. And of course, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 13 about verse number 7 to render honor to whom honor is due, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear. And we certainly should recognize those men, those fathers who have embraced fatherhood and who have been responsible, who have not run away from responsibility, but rather they have embraced fatherhood. George Halas, the late great coach of the Chicago Bears, made a profound statement. He said that no one ever regrets doing their best. I think he said something there. You never regret giving your best, do you? You never regret giving your best. Well, the Bible, the greatest book in the world, is loaded with wisdom and insight and instruction. And we will never regret accepting the counsel and the guidance that comes to us from the Word of God. And God says, give honor to whom honor is due, and give tribute to whom tribute is due. And so when we look at this Psalms 37, there is scholarly consensus that this great psalm was written by David, the sweet singer of Israel. And there are a lot of precious and powerful insights in this psalm. In verses 1 and 2, he talks about the fact, don't fret yourself because of evildoers, and don't be envious of workers of iniquity, because they're going to one day be cut down like grass and they're going to wither like the green herb. Well, in verse 3, he talks about trust in God and do good, and you'll dwell in the land. Then he talked about in verse 5, he said that delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. In verse number 25, he talked about the fact that I've been young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And this tells me that God will take care of his children for a lifetime. God will take care of you when you're young, and God will take care of you when you're old. Is that all right? And this promise is renewed in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews when God said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Oh, that's good news this morning, to know that God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Sometimes friends will leave you. Sometimes it's not their fault, but sometimes they will leave you. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that's the Lord. Is that all right? But the text in verse 23 says, but the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What does that mean? It means that the life as directed by God will never experience permanent failure. You might have a setback, but God will give you a comeback. Is that all right? God can turn your pain into power. God can turn your sadness into gladness. Yes, I know that weeping sometimes endures for a night, but somehow God has a way of making joy to come in the morning. Is that all right? So you will never have to worry. And then in the New Testament, Jude talks about, he said, now unto him who is able to keep us from falling. Amen. And not only will he keep us from falling, he will present us one day before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be majesty, Lord have mercy, dominion, and power. So I'm glad I got a God who will keep me from falling. I'm glad I got a God, if I fall down, he'll pick me up. He'll dust me off and start me on my way again. But I tell you, the steps of a good father, and I tell you, you can't make it out of father without the Lord. Is that all right? You can't make it without as a father without the Lord. So I want to talk about three things that I want you to see in this message this morning. Number one, I want to talk about the greatest father of all. And you know who that is. The greatest father of all. Amen. Then I want to talk about point number two. The heavenly father has guided earthly fathers. Amen. Then the final point is the sure steps of a father are guided by the Lord. The sure steps of a father are guided by the Lord. The very concept of fatherhood comes to us from God. And he is the greatest father of all. And I'm glad to report this morning that we have a great and the grand and a glorious father in heaven. Amen. Jesus, when he was teaching the disciples' prayer, he told them to say, "Our Father who art in heaven," which lets me know I have a father that sits high and he looks low. Is that all right? And he said, you ought to honor this father. When you pray, you ought to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," because he is in heaven. Amen. And this father welcomes your heartfelt prayers. Do you understand that? He welcomes your heartfelt prayers. And when you pray to him, you'll feel so much better. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Not only does he welcome our heartfelt prayers, he welcomes our prayers and our supplications. And your supplication is a more intensified form of prayer. Sometimes you pray regular prayer, but sometimes you have emergencies. Sometimes in life you have personal situations and you have to pray more intently. Amen. But the Heavenly Father, the greatest Father of all, welcomes our prayers. And then this Heavenly Father, he knows how to give you good things. Can you say this morning that the Heavenly Father has blessed your life with good things? Can't you say amen to that? That God has blessed you. All blessings come from above. They come from the Heavenly Father. And if an earthly father knows how to give his children good things, how much more does the Heavenly Father know how to give the Holy Spirit to them that obey him? Brother Hillary, would you get Acts 5 and look at verse 32? The Heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all want the Holy Spirit? Well, he gives it to you when you obey him. Amen. And one way you know you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, you produce the fruits of the Spirit, which are joy and love and peace. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. So I ask you, what kind of fruit is on your tree? Amen. What kind of fruit is on your tree? What does Acts 5:32 say, Brother Hillary?
And we are his witnesses of these things.
Uh-huh.
And so is also the Holy Ghost.
And so is also the Holy Ghost.
Whom God hath given to them that obey him.
And God gives the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit to those that obey him. Read it again, Brother Hillary.
And we are his witnesses.
And we are his witnesses of these things.
And so is also the Holy
Ghost. And so also is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit.
Whom God hath given to them.
Whom God hath given to them.
That obey him.
That obey him. You see, God, just like an earthly father knows how to give his children good things, the Heavenly Father knows how to give, amen, the Holy Spirit to them that obey him, and he gives us richly all things to enjoy. But not only that, the Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, knows that you have need of food, a job, hello y'all, clothing, a place to stay, amen. And your Heavenly Father knows you need a paycheck. Oh, I wish I had some help. I can't get no help in here. Is that all right? He knows you need clothes. He knows you need shelter. And the Bible says that your Heavenly Father, and Jesus was trying to, in this sermon, he was trying to relieve anxiety and worry and stress, because sometimes we do worry. Amen. Sometimes we do have a little anxiety. Clouds of anxiety are floating in our mental skies. Amen. And Jesus Christ used nature's classroom. Sometime you have to go out in nature's classroom to see what the Heavenly Father is doing. And I know if the Heavenly Father takes care of birds and takes care of flowers, I'm much more valuable to him than birds or flowers. And if he takes care of the flowers, he'll take care of me. So the Heavenly Father says, here's a promise to you. He says, if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all this stuff you worrying about, clothes, food, rent, mortgage, car note, college tuition, hallelujah, then all these things are going to be added unto you. Isn't he an awesome Heavenly Father? But not only that, he is a Father of mercies. And he's the God of all comfort. Brother Hillary, 2 Corinthians 1:3. He is the Father of mercies. Aren't you glad you got a Father that's merciful? The psalmist said, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Have mercy. His truth endures unto all generations. Is that what it says? Listen to 2 Corinthians 1:3. What does it say, Brother Hillary?
Blessed be God.
Blessed be God.
Even the Father of our
Father of our Lord. Come on.
Jesus Christ. The Father of mercy.
The Father. Now look at that. Look now, he didn't say mercy. Look at the plural. He's the Father of mercies. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. See, because God is not merely just merciful for a moment. He's merciful for a lifetime. He's the Father of mercies. Come on.
And the God.
And the God.
Of all comfort.
Of all comfort. Look at that. That's the greatest Heavenly Father. That's the greatest Father of all. Amen. My earthly father passed away, but my heavenly father will never die. Is that all right? I will always have access to my heavenly father. He's the Father of mercies. Mercies, plural. And he's the God of all comfort. When you're in the valley in the shadow of death, he comforts you. When your heart is broken, he comforts you. When you got trouble, he comforts you. Because he's the God of mercy. Amen. The reason I know he's the God of mercy, because one day the Son of God was going down from Jericho and he walked into a city, and there was a blind man sitting by the road named Bartimaeus, and he cried out, Jesus, oh Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy on me. Is that all right? And the folks said, shut up, Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus got worse, started hollering louder, Jesus, oh Jesus, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, what do you want? He said that you will open my eyes, that I could receive my sight. Is that all right? And Jesus gave him his eyes. And when I see Jesus, I see the Father. And the Father is the God, the Father of all mercies. That's why David can say, surely goodness and mercy. Anybody wanting the mercy this morning? Will follow me sometime. He said, all the days of, and I'm going to stay right here in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm not going to leave the house of the Lord. Y'all might put me out of here, but I ain't leaving the house of the Lord. Is that all right? All the days of my life. But let me move to the second point. The second point is earthly fathers that the Heavenly Father has guided. This Heavenly Father has such an impressive track record of guiding and ordering our steps. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not lack, or the King James said want. But he's saying, since the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me into green, not withered pastures, what? Green pastures. And then he said, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his own honor. He's not going to lead me wrong. He's going to always lead me right. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, do I walk through the the valley and the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. And then he moved from a shepherd leading to a gracious host. Thou preparest a table. This Father, man, we're going to go eat today, Hillary. Say amen if you can. Is that all right? I expect the table going to be fixed in a minute, Brother Milton. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And then here, thou anointest my head with oil. Yes, Sister Johnson. And he's so good to me, I just got to say my cup runneth over. My cup of blessing just running over. Can you say amen to that? Anybody ever had your cup of blessing to run over? Is your blessing running over this morning? When you know the Heavenly Father, your cup of blessing can run over. Then he said, surely. Somebody ought to be able to say, surely. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. I tell you, if you are an earthly father, the Heavenly Father, and that makes me really feel great, will order your steps. He will order your steps. The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. Is that correct? And then, Brother Hillary, run over to Psalms 119. Look at verse number 133. Let's see what that says. Psalms 119. Let's look at verse 133. Let's see what that says.
Order my steps in thy
word. Order my steps
in thy word.
In your word.
And let not any iniquity.
And let not any iniquity, lawlessness.
Have dominion over me.
Have control over my life. Lord, Heavenly Father, do what? Order my steps where? In your word. And don't let lawlessness, that's what iniquity is, have control. Dominion is control. Lord, don't let me get caught up in the grips of disobedience. But Lord, instead, you, I'm a father. I got a family. And Father, I need you to order my steps. Show me what to do. Show me the decisions I ought to make. I'm coming to a fork in the road. I don't know whether to go right. I don't know whether to go left. I don't know whether to go straight. So order my steps in your word. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well, let's think about some father's steps he ordered. Noah. The Bible say he did an ark for the saving of his house. Let me tell you something. Noah could have never built that ark without God ordering his steps. Noah could have never saved his family. If you think you're going to save your family on this earth, and every father ought to be striving to save all his children, I want all my children in heaven. Is that all right? I want my beautiful wife in heaven. Is that all right? But I can't do that without the Heavenly Father ordering my steps. He told Noah to build an ark of gopher wood. Gave him the dimensions and the specifications of it. And Noah could not have been successful in that if God had not ordered his steps. The steps of a good father are ordered by the Lord. Here's another one. Abraham told him to leave your kin people. Sometimes you have to leave. Is that correct? He said, leave your family, leave your idolatrous family, and go out into a land that I'm going to show you. A land I'm going to show you. He didn't know where he was going. But he never would have reached that land without God ordering his steps. Then there's Job. Amen. Job was a man, the Bible says in Job 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, a perfect and upright man, one who feared God and avoided evil. And he was a good man because God ordered his steps. He was a good father because he had 10 children. Did y'all hear that? I said he had 10 children. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his daughters were the most beautiful women of the East. And Job was such a great father. When Job would offer the burnt offering, Job allowed for the possibility that some of my children have cursed God in their heart, and I can't take a chance, so I'm going to offer a sacrifice for every one of them. Is that all right? And he never could have done that if God had not ordered his steps. Amen. But here's the final point. And that is, the sure steps of a father are ordered by the Lord. Amen. Now come on down to fathers living today. And you know, of course, the concept of fatherhood changes. As your children grow up, you're no longer, you take more then on an advisory role. Because when your children get grown, you can't command them. Hello, lights. You can suggest some things. When they got their own house, you can't tell them what time to go to bed. Hello, y'all. You can't tell them they don't need cable in the house. Hello. Now, when they're living in your house, I wish I had some help here. Like, y'all don't know what I'm talking about in here. Is that all right? But as the children grow, the father, the role changes, but the scripture says that it still says, and we would do well to hear the word of God. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. And it says, for this is the first commandment with promise. Perhaps a lot of our young people are losing their lives prematurely because they're not honoring fathers and mothers. Amen. The Bible said, honor your father, and you should honor your father. Amen. Well, let's think about some ways in which God is ordering father's step today. And to the younger fathers who have smaller children, let me give you some words from the Lord, from your heaven. Number one, he says, don't provoke your children to wrath. Now, let me explain that. It means some versions say don't exasperate your children. And sometimes fathers can be too hard on their children. That's what God says. Are you listening? The word exasperate means this. Write this down. Exasperates means to provoke someone to anger or frustration by repeatedly doing something that is annoying. Now, whether you believe it or not, I'm going to get heavy here. Parents can get on their children's nerve. Let me go look at the wonder right here. Let me go look at the wonder. Hello, y'all. Parents can get on their children's nerves. And, of course, we do know that children can get on their parents' nerves, too. Can you say amen to that? But God says, the Heavenly Father's is as you rear your children, God has a word for you. And he says, don't be too hard on them. Now, in case y'all need some Bible for that, Brother Hiller, you better run over there. I think I need a little Bible. They're looking at me strange. That ain't in the Bible. Yes, it is. Ephesians 6:4. Let's look at it. It's in the Bible. It's in there. Ephesians 6:4. Let's look at it. In fact, you got the NIV, Doc? Read it from the NIV. That might make it a little plainer. Ephesians 6:4, we're going to look at verse 5. What does it say?
Fathers.
Fathers.
Do not exasperate your children.
See the word exasperate? Exasperate means what? to provoke someone to become angry or frustrated by repeatedly doing something that's annoying. Ever been exasperated in your life? Anybody? Been exasperated? You know what it means? Make you angry, frustrate you by keep doing the same thing that's getting on your last nerve. Hello, y'all. He said, fathers, do what?
Do not exasperate.
Don't exasperate
your children.
Your children.
Instead.
Now watch it. Here's the second thing. Here's a second. Instead of being too hard on them, he said, nurture them. Nurture your children. They need more encouragement than criticisms. Don't you? Don't you operate better on encouragement than criticism? Don't you? Come on, y'all might well keep it real. I'd rather have somebody encouraging me than criticizing me, even though I do know there's such thing as constructive. But it's got to be and not destructive. Instead, read it, Brother Hillary, verse 5.
Instead, bring them up.
Bring them up.
In the training.
In the nurture of the training.
And instruction.
And instruction.
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord. That's what you do, Father. Here's the Heavenly Father who knows all about child psychology. Hello? Who knows all about abnormal psychology. Is that right? He says, don't be too hard on them. They can only stand so much. But here's what you do instead, Father. Here's the Heavenly Father. I got a message for you, Earthly Father. First of all, I've given you the gift of children. Amen. Let me help you in the rearing of them. Because I know everything. I know how to order steps. I know how to speak words and words coming to existence. I know how to make crops explode with fertility and productivity. Amen. Is that all right? So I got a word for you. Don't exasperate them. Instead, nurture them. Let them know who I am. If you are a father, you make sure, Father, listen, your child knows who the Lord is. It's the father's responsibility more than the mother to get your child a Sunday school. Preach, Moss. Is that all right? You have the responsibility of bringing them up in the what? Read it about here. In the what? Read it. In the what? In the nurture.
Nurture and admonition.
And admonition. Admonition is warning. Warn them. There are some bad people in life. There are some bad things in life. Is that correct? I'm ordering your steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Here's another thing he tells you to do. He says, teach your child that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Teach your child to fear God. How many young folks, don't raise your hand, how many young folks in here fear God? Fear God. Reverence God. That's the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Is that all right? Here's another thing the Heavenly Father say. He says, teach them to trust in the Lord with all that. Teach your children, Father, to trust God. And the best way to teach them to do it is that they see that you trust God. Huh? They see that you have your trust in God. And in other words, live with hope. I don't care how bleak it gets, walk by faith, not by sight. You can't go by the newspaper, go by the scripture. Is that all right? You walk by faith and you don't walk by sight. Let me give you this and I'm going to conclude. Let's spell Father. F-A-T-H-E-R. Is that right? Now, each one of those letters stands for something about a father. Sister Milton knows about this. She uses this quite frequently. She says he's a teacher. Hello, y'all. The F stands for faithful. When God orders a father's steps, he's faithful. And the word faithful means dependable. It means trustworthy. Can your kids count on you? Amen. That's what God needs in the church, faithful men. Men he can depend on. Is that all right? Trustworthy men and women. Is that all right? The A stands for attentive. A father whose step or order by the Lord is not scattered nor distracted by things. He understands the call of God upon his life. So a father whose God orders his step is attentive. The T stands for tough-minded. The father got to be tough-minded. Amen. Means that he's strong mentally. He's strong psychologically. He's strong emotionally. He is wise as a serpent. But he's harmless as a dove. You know, one of the great pursuits of my life has been to seek wisdom. I continually seek after wisdom. My beautiful kids gave me some nice gifts this morning. Yeah, one of them, I got a book called, you know, I love books. I said, I'm going to use that this week. Is that all right? Amen. And then, Jackie, I tell you this. Nobody else ain't listening. Then, Jackie, I got a new shirt and a new tie. I just got it too late. I would have wore it. Amen. T stands for tough-minded. Strong mentally, strong psychologically, strong emotionally. The mother is made from tenderness. The father is made from strength. And the mother and father combined represents the totality of God. H stands for heroic. Because he is willing to spend and to be spent for his children. Amen. Is that correct? E stands for encouraging. Because he knows that his children needs more encouragement than criticism. Is that all right? And finally, the R stands for responsible. He's not afraid of responsibility. And not only is he not afraid of responsibility, he is resourceful. Amen. Now you put all those together and they spell Father. Amen. And one of the greatest things a father can do is follow the Lord. Let his steps be ordered by the Lord. And I'm determined for the rest of my life, I'm going to follow the Lord. Can you say amen to that? That's a decision you make. I'm going to follow the Lord. Amen. And I don't know of a better thing you could do than to give your life to Jesus according to the New Testament. Amen. The Lord has a blood-bought church. You ought to be a member of it. Is that right? The Lord has an unparalleled plan of salvation. You ought to give heed to it. But Brother Miles, what do I need to do to be a Christian? You hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. You believe it, John 3:16. You repent of your sin, Acts 17:30. You confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10. And then you immerse or you're baptized in water for the remission of your sin. You then become a member of that blood-bought church that Jesus promised to build in Caesarea Philippi. And because he paid the cost to be the boss. Is that all right? And then once you become a member of that blood-bought church, the Lord adds you to, rather when you obey the gospel, rather, he adds you to the church. And your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is that correct? And every father whose step are ordered by the Lord, he encourages his children to obey the gospel and to be faithful unto the Lord. Can you think of anything better than that? Than to show them that how many can appreciate the day being a Christian? That's mighty weak now. Let me ask that one more time. How many can appreciate the day being a New Testament Christian? Now that's much better. Is that all right? Because this is the greatest life, amen, that there is. I don't know nothing better. Amen. And so as I conclude today, I want to tell you this, that the steps of a good father are ordered by the Lord. Ain't that good news? But before I do that, if y'all would just stand, I want all the fathers to sit down. I want everybody else to stand up. Everybody else stand up. All the fathers, just hold your seat. Everybody else stand up. And let's give these fathers a round of applause this morning. Amen. Because they deserve it. Amen. And especially these fathers who are in the house of the Lord. Amen. Because you just can't beat a father who say, the Lord is my God, and I'm going to let the Lord. Amen. My kids tell me while I'm going on vacation, the first question I ask, where you going to church at? Hello? Because even though you're going on vacation, you don't take a vacation from the Lord. Is that all right? Wherever you're going, you got to make sure you meet the Lord at the appointed place. Is that correct? There's something about it. And when you know the Lord, you can be a father. You can say, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground ain't nothing but sinking sand, Brother Milton. When you're a father, you say, be with me, Lord. I can't live without you. I dare not try to take one step alone. Is that all right? I tell you, a father knows something. He knows that his help come from the Lord, Sister Blanson, who made the heaven and the earth. He knows the Lord won't allow his foot to be moved. He knows the Lord that keeps him won't sleep. Is that all right? He knows the Lord will be his shade on his right hand. He knows the Lord won't let the sun smite him by day, Brother Hillary, nor the moon by night. Is that all right? He knows the Lord will preserve him from all evil. He knows the Lord will keep him from this day unto evermore, when the steps of a father are ordered by the Lord. Going to ask the fathers to stand now. Ask all the fathers to stand now. And we're going to extend the invitation on this Father's Day. I want to say again to all of the fathers, you have a father, you make sure you let him know how much you love him. Amen. We're certainly happy to see all of our visitors today, and you're coming in honor of your father. That's beautiful, and we think that's great. Amen. And just keep on doing what you're doing, and you'll be so glad you did. And I want to tell you one thing, fathers, if you keep letting the Lord order your step, you can say your blessing is on the way. Amen. Can you say amen to that? All right. Oh, Lord, I come to receive, patiently waiting for the harvest. I got the Hebrews, 11, the counterfeit, and it's mine, oh mine, oh yeah, oh Lord.